Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Thank you to Nobles Networking for the free internet. Y'all check them out. They are awesome. Chris, thank you, buddy. Based out of Cochran, Georgia, look him up on Facebook. Thanks for Red Circle, putting a little change in my pocket. Bourbon Joy, the chocolates that have been sent to me here lately. Thank y'all. All the other sponsors of the show. Appreciate it to each and every one of y'all. Today, I have no idea what we're about to do. I know it's about to be fun because I got some grown-ass men in here with me right now. I'm going to start off to
as
my right.
As opposed to?
usually it's women lately, or just men who act like women. Some of them Transformers, as y'all like to joke about. To my right, Mr. Chuck Hutchinson. He's been on the show several times. Y'all always like him. Very well-educated music producer. And thank you for coming, Chuck.
Good to be here.
To him, we got a new friend to the family. Mr. Aaron, it's Aaron Watson, right?
I wish.
Oh.
Tanner.
Fuck Texas. I'm still on Texas time. Mr. Tanner, thank you. Sorry I screwed your name up already, but yeah, it's going to happen more than once. I'm bad with names.
Sometimes they get Aaron Tippin, Aaron Watson.
Hey, you're in the right ballpark. That's all that matters.
Yeah, there we go.
You just let them keep calling you that shit, and you'll be good to go. Oh my gosh, I love this guy. He looks like a bird, but he's my favorite bird. Oh, you remember last night Mr. Casey Yarbrough, thanks for coming, big fella.
Josh, thank you for having me, brother. It's so good to see you.
We definitely got to turn your mic up, or you got to get closer to it.
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, you're supposed to be a professional, sir. Can you get a little closer?
Testing.
Hey, test it again.
Testing one. Hey, two.
We should have tested it before, but you know what? It makes everybody laugh when I mess shit up. There you go. That you're good now. It's right where awesome. It needs to be. And next to him, Tyler Branch. He's trying not to get emotional right now because Casey's in the room.
No,
it's like I don't know. It's something weird there. I like the way y'all look at each other.
We have a bromance.
Mine and his is getting weird.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning, we end up. He was laying in the bedroom, and I just wanted to go wake him up. So I went and got in bed with him and very quickly realized that this is what it's like to be on the road with you guys. I'm cool with it. I can deal with it.
Yeah.
A lot of things have been going on the past couple of days. We got some good stuff coming up with the Riders Round retreat and everything this week. But Mr. Chuck has been telling me about Aaron for a while now. And Aaron, you kind of go back and forth between Nashville and over close to Vidalia, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell them a little bit about yourself before we get into anything else, and we're going to let you pick and play a song to kick this off, and then we're going to roll from there.
I'm Aaron Tanner, originally from Denton, Georgia. Most people have no idea where that is, and it's just as easy for y'all not to know as me try to explain it. But originally from there, grew up there, and then moved up to near Vidalia when I was a teenager. Married a girl from Kibbe and got held captive there. So I live in Kibbe now. I got a wife and two little girls. And back in 2019, I started kind of pushing my own. I've been writing songs since I was like 14. But I played with some family bands, bluegrass, southern gospel bands. And then back in 2019, I started pushing my own music. And so here we are. Like I said, we've been going back to Nashville every other month or so, every 3 months. We'll go for a week or so.
Shout out to Terry Richardson.
Back. Yeah, shout out to Terry Richardson. He couldn't make it today. But
he's a member of the Grand Ole Opry, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe so. Something like he used to they called him the interviewer. He said he used to go backstage and he had a press pass and he could just wander backstage wherever he wanted to and talk to whoever. And
he knows everybody.
And he knows all the old guys, Roy Acuff and Grandpa Jones. And I asked him one time we was riding, I was like, who haven't you met? And he said, well, the newer guys I hadn't met. He said, I hadn't been since the Opry changed over in like 07, I think it was. They got this new manager and he was, you know, he...
an asshole.
Yeah, he made the comment.
I knew with your facial expression that you didn't want.
I didn't
know how to say it.
I have not met him, but that's that. From all intents and purposes, that's what has been relayed to me. But he was quoted as saying, "When I get done, there won't be a gray hair in the audience or on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry." He just wanted to do away with tradition. And anyway, so it kind of kicked Terry. I think that was like an 07 or 05 or something like that. But anyway, anybody before that, he said he's pretty much met them except for. I think you said the California guys like Buck Owens and Dwight Yoakam, you hadn't met them. So I'll say, you met George Jones? Yeah, I met George Jones. You met Merle Haggard? Yeah, Merle Haggard. I met Waylon. I met, I think he said Johnny Cash, everybody. I'm like, man.
I bet he's got some good-ass stories.
Oh, yeah.
You go on Terry's Facebook page, he's got pictures of so many people.
Oh, yeah. One of the
Crystal Bell, just all so many people.
One of the coolest stories I think he told me is he said one time back in this is the 80s or 90s or something, they were at a party. And he said, I admit, I was drinking a little bit. He said, I wasn't drinking too bad, but I was drinking a little bit. And he said that Tanya Tucker and forgot who was with her, said, hey, we're going to go over to our house. You want to come with us? He said, yeah. And so they went over to Tanya Tucker. I think it was when she was dating Glenn Campbell. Went over to their house, and he said they were hanging out. And Tanya said, hey, come here. I want to show you something I've been working on. And she showed him this song. I guess maybe sung him part of it, but it was that song, Bring My Flowers Now. The one she released a couple of years ago and got the Grammy. And mm-hmm. he said she had started writing it back. This is like the late 80s, I think, or something like that.
Wow.
And, you know, she had said she started writing it and then finished it here a few years ago. And I was like, now that's cool. He was there for the birth of that song all those years ago, and now it's got a Grammy.
See, that's awesome. You know? Don't that make you feel good about shit we got going on?
Uh-huh.
Picking and playing the other night, and you don't know where anything's going to go.
Oh, yeah.
And you got Aaron's going to be part of some of the stuff that we did, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be good.
Another cool story with Terry. His partner a few years ago out of the Vidalia area, Judy Hooks Turner. Judy and Terry used to book shows over at the Vidalia Tech School there, and they would bring in Blake Shelton, Trace Atkins before they got super big, and Sammy Kershaw. But Judy told me one time, she said, Luke Bryan used to call me up all the time before he got big. Please, Miss Judy, please put me on the show. Please put me on the And on his first album, they actually got little liner notes in there. Thanks to Terry and Judy for all they did. You know,
so that's who we have to blame. Stories.
What's that?
I said, so that's who we have to blame.
I really wish he'd have stopped about after that third album. Oh, no, that one that he did recently to build Me a Daddy. Now, that one right there.
Yeah,
that's tough. That's a tough one. But besides that, I can't tell you a Luke Bryan song I've liked in a hot-ass minute.
He's like a lot of those newer guys. He's got a really good voice. He just uses on trash songs.
I just think once you get to that point, you just don't give a shit no more. And you know the checks are going to come in.
Well, that too.
Yes.
I mean, honestly.
Gotta make that money.
You're so big at that point. If you're that big, some producer or some label exec is telling you what to do at that point.
Yeah, but yeah, I think too, like one reason I like, I joke with Tyler about this all week. I like broke-ass musicians because I think that's where you get the best music from.
Absolutely.
I think from the heartbreak and the struggle and the bullshit you go through, I think that's where good music comes from.
That's where my mind comes from.
I think once you get complacent and everything starts coming easy, you can't write a country song anymore. I think that's why it kind of goes to the poppy shit, because it doesn't really have that essence.
What you got to write about anymore.
You don't got nothing to write about. Yeah. And it's just like when you get married and you get fat. He's like, what the fuck am I doing now? We're just going to eat the rest of our lives and talk to one another, so we might as well have some good food. I mean, it's the same thing with music.
Yeah.
I ain't got shit going.
Never become complacent.
Never become complacent. Always want more.
Absolutely.
Well, Mr. Aaron, won't you play us one? Me and I've listened to the one that that Chuck sent me. I liked it. I like the old timey feel to it.
Which one was that? Is it Hallways?
The one with the video?
Yeah. My friend just got married at that place.
Okay. Yeah. That's a beautiful place.
Oh, it is. It's very pretty. Yeah. We went down there for the wedding. I recognized it right off the bat. It's very pretty. Yeah.
I kind of wish you'd play the one you did Thursday at my studio or Friday. Jesus and Marlboro Man.
Jesus Smith and Wesson and the Marlboro Man.
Murphy does that.
I like the fucking name.
That seems to be one of the crowd favorites. That one I actually wrote for my daddy. Before he met my mama, this is back in, well, song says it, 86. He said he was a drunk. He said, I wasn't an alcoholic. I was drunk. He said, I'd go to the bar. I'd get drunk. If I couldn't start a fight, I'd get somebody else to start a fight. He said, I know that guy. He said,
I am that guy.
He said, I was a rough character. And I met a guy one time that used to run with him back then. And he said, man, your daddy was a mess. And he said, the song is about, you know, how God saved his soul one night. And he got down to the end of his rope and he was like, you know, I can't do this no more. And it's about that, and it's about some stories that he told. I remember him telling growing up about how his life used to be, and now he's been a pastor pretty much all my life. And so I wrote this for him. And the next album we make, whenever that is, I told somebody today I'm already itching to get back in the studio. But number one, I ain't got no money. Number two, I don't want to crowd the EP, you know, that we just put out back in December. But put this strap on so this thing don't fall out my lap.
Just angle it down whenever you know what you're doing.
I tuned this beforehand. I promise I did. Cold November night in 1986, I took a long look at my life, said, how did it come to this? A half a pack of Marlboros, a loaded 38, and a Bible on the table, wondering which road should I take? Keep living like I was living, end it all right now, or give it all to Jesus if he wanted me somehow. Then he came into the room and said, I've been here all along, just watching and waiting for you to come back home. And I thank God that he had mercy when I deserved none at all. He washed away my sins, made my troubles seem so small. You ain't walked the road that I've walked, and you'll never understand what it meant the night that I chose Jesus over Smith and Wesson and the Marlboro Man. He said, I was in that bar when you said, don't let me die this way. And I heard your mom and daddy every time they'd pray. And I was the one who kept your bullets hid when there was murder in your heart. And I was there every time your world fell apart. And all the things you'll never tell is bottled up inside. I can wash it all away. By my grace, you'll be justified. So he took away my guilt and he took away my shame. And ever since that night, I've never been the same. And I thank God that he had mercy when I deserved none at all. He washed away my sins and made my troubles seem so small. You ain't walked the road that I've walked, and you'll never understand what it meant the night that I chose Jesus over Smith and Wesson and the Marlboro Man.
No, you ain't walked the road that I've walked, and you'll never understand what it meant the night that I chose Jesus over Smith and Wesson and the Marlboro Man.
Well, where the fuck has that been?
Wow.
Goodness gracious. Yeah.
Killer song.
Thank y'all.
Love it.
Thank you.
Your voice
dude,
is
that,
too, man.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I didn't know what to expect.
Thank you.
I'm a very blunt person. It gets me in a lot of trouble.
No.
Yeah. I say a lot of shit sometimes. I did not know what to expect. Like, me and Tyler the other day, when we were listening to the one he had sent me or whatever.
Always in my mind.
The Hallways one, right?
Yeah, Hallways of My Mind.
Always of My Mind. Yeah, I liked your voice. I just didn't know. Like, you know, like when you hear some artists, it's where you don't know which way to go with it. You know you like it, but it just doesn't grab you. Yeah. That has been the first one I've heard it. If that was the first song I heard of you, you'd have grabbed the shit out of me, and I'd have been telling you to hurry up and get your ass in here.
Now he's here.
Well, thank you.
Now he's here. That's good,
too. Well, honestly, I feel like that's one of my best songs, and I got a few more that I feel like are better than some of the ones I put on the EP. But I guess, I don't know, I'm horrible at marketing, I've come to find out. But my marketing concept when I started, I was like, well, I'm going to do an EP. I'm only going to do 5 songs. Nobody knows who in the world I am, so I don't want to waste my best songs on not being known. I want to put it out there where I can kind of get a little buzz, and then people are like, who's this dude? And kind of get a little bit of a buzz, and then hit them. Kind of like got Tyson on the wall of there. Kind of like a 1-2 punch. You throw the jab to set up the cross and the knockout punch. That was the concept. Don't know if it's going to work, but that was the concept.
I think you're backwards on that one. I think you just do one song. I think you figure out a way to market that one song, and you come up with a gimmick with that song. To where you put it out on social media, you go ahead and if that one's that good, you'll push yourself harder to write something that good again, and not just like settle for being mediocre or writing a mediocre song. I think you have to go with your first punch, because the first impression, like I just said, first impression is what'll get you. Right. You fuck up that first impression, you're in trouble.
Hey, tell them where you work at.
I work at Paul Anderson Youth Home in Vidalia. Some people know what that is, some people don't.
I don't know what it is.
Paul Anderson was a Olympic weightlifter, and he was like billed as the strongest man in the world. He lifted
he blew away the Russians in 56.
Yeah, he stomped them. Yeah, he's from Georgia, and he lifted like 6,280 pounds, I think it was, on his back, like a back lift. It's not like a full squat or nothing, but if I was to get under this table and just pick it up off the floor, that would be a back lift. So he broke the world record, did that, and then he started this home, this Christian home for teenage boys that have like charges and drug problems and different stuff like that. And so I'm a mentor there. That's what I do.
Oh, so you hate my mouth.
He
left the church to come to the house of ill repute.
I did.
Everybody talks so much trash about my lights outside, because I'm stuck between two churches. There's a Jehovah's Witness church sitting next to me, and then there's another one on the other side of me, on the other side of our other building. And one of the things that Raising Grace stands for, though, is somewhere between Raising Hell and Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
And because I believe that everybody that's been in here, we all got a wild side, but one thing you can find in common with everyone is we love the good Lord. And we know that the only reason why we receive the blessings that we've received is because of Him. Mm-hmm. And I say it all the time, I'm a Christian. I'm just not an example setter.
Yeah.
Don't do what I do. This is between me and God over here.
And that's kind of what my music is actually, and I figured we'll talk more about it later, actually about is, you know, a lot of times church folks have got enough music. There's a lot of time there's folks that's out in, you know, bars and different places that need Jesus. And
everybody needs hope.
Everybody needs hope. Everybody needs Jesus. But, you know what I mean? Some of the people that need Him worse, I guess, so, but you know what I'm trying to say. And I'm trying to go there with my music, and A lot of my lyrics, like that song I just sung, my lyrics are really gospel. Like I said, I was raised in church. My daddy was a pastor. I'm a preacher, but my sound is country, just 100%, because I grew up in the 90s, Alan Jackson, George Strait, and everything. So I'm just straight country.
Oh, you're hitting 90s country perfect and, with your voice.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
And how you played that.
And for the longest time, I didn't know what to do with my music. Like I said, I've been writing since I was 14, and it always was like, what am I supposed to do with this? Because it's not, you know, mainstream gospel, Christian music is like contemporary and Southern gospel quartets and stuff like that. And I don't like quartets, don't like contemporary gospel. But it's got the gospel lyrics. So I was like, well, I can't go sing in the bar, you know, they're not going to like it. So I just kind of sung at church, did my thing, played with the bluegrass group and the Southern gospel group with my brother and my wife and all. And then finally we did that for a few years. And then we started all having so many babies, we couldn't find babysitters anymore. And then everybody kind of dropped off.
Need a new hobby.
Yeah, there you go. there was me and my wife, my brother, his wife, and then my wife's two sisters and their husbands. And all of us, I think, had like one or two youngins apiece is where we got to. And then I think they're still having some more. But anyway, and we were like, man, we can't find babysitters. So they all quit. And I tried to get Hannah, my wife, she writes songs, sings, plays guitar and mandolin, piano. I tried to get her to do like a guitar mandolin thing, duet. And she's like, after a while, I was like, fine, forget you. I'm gonna do it myself. And then I started pushing my songs. And I said, you know what? I'm going to sing anywhere they'll let me sing. And I'm going to call myself a country artist because that's what I am. And I'm going to sing my songs about, you know, about Jesus and about life and about, you know, the junk I've been through and everything. And so far, you know, I was afraid somebody's going to be like, oh, we don't want to hear no Jesus mess, you know, and we want to go to bars and stuff. But so far, everybody's loved it. Nobody's complained.
People always love a good story, man.
Yeah. If it's the story.
That's right.
It's the story. But I'll tell you, I believe that you have preachers in this world and you have warriors. And they both fight for the same team. Mm. And some people don't want to just hear from a preacher. Like, even me, I'll tell you, I don't like organized religion anymore. I believe it is your relationship with God, and that's I let everybody live their life because there's so many different opinions on it. Every conversation I have with God is between me and Him, and every conversation you have is none of my business how you talk to God.
Speaking of warriors, you didn't hear my story that happened to me last Sunday, did you?
No, but I want you to get to it in just a minute.
Yeah.
I do. You had some crazy shit happen. but no, I think you doing that, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but growing up, I can tell you just a few songs that my daddy, when he would get shit-faced, that you'd hear come on that radio, and it was one of the last ones you'd hear. And a bunch of it was Hank Sr., and it was his gospel songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or it was Elvis's gospel songs and stuff like that. And so I think those drunks want to hear it just as people at the bar want to hear it just as bad because it hits you different.
I was at a place one time. It was a bar up, we was doing a songwriter around me and one other guy was going back into up in Cartersville, Georgia. And a guy come to me after we sung, and he was strung out. He was shot out. And if I'm 99% certain this is what he said. He come to me, he's like, man, I like your song. You know, he was all fidgety, you know how junkies are. And he was like, man, I like your songs, I like your music. He said, I love that, man. He said, yeah, I had to step out a minute. I had to do some crack out there in the parking lot. And then I came back in. But, man, I love your music. I was like, good night, son.
But that's needing it.
But anyway, he was telling me about how, you know, it made him think about his life and what he was doing with his life and how he needed to change and stuff. I'm like, well, that's what I'm doing this for, you know.
Yep.
That's what I'm doing this for. And you was talking about how, you know, people are disenchanted with organized religion. I found that out a lot working with those boys. At the home, we take boys between 16 and 21, and man, they are that generation, like our generation. I assume you're probably like early mid 30s. 33. So you're like 2 years older, a year or two older than me. So our generation and down.
What? How old are you?
I'll be 32 in July.
Okay, I thought you was 40. By the way you sing and carry yourself. I mean, it's a compliment though. You seem like a distinguished older.
I kind of wish, you know,
that's the vibe you put off.
That Alan Jackson song, I Was Just Born Too Late.
I
feel that, man. I was like, man, I wish I was born where I was about 20 in the 50s. I'd been straight. But anyway, but guys our age or people in general, our age and down, has it been become so disenchanted with organized religion because it's just you know, so much fake, you know, on all ends of the spectrum, you know.
A lot of put on.
Just any, that's yeah, right. any denomination you go to, you know, is for the most part, it's just, you know, a lot of, there's good people in church. I ain't gonna lie. There's absolutely good people in church. I go to a really good church and I don't know. I ain't never been to Chuck's church. I guess he probably goes to a good church or whatever. And if y'all go to church, y'all might go to a good church. But I'm just saying, a lot of places, and even most churches, there's at least one or two that you just kind of wish would leave and never come back. And we've had people in our church before, and we don't run them off, but we're like, man, they cause so much trouble. And then God would run them off. It like something would happen, they would just leave. We're like, praise God.
See, I've got a theory behind all of it. It's not complicated. I think when it used to be hard to get to church is when you got to see who really was there for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you our grandparents, whoever, you used to have to walk to church, or you had to take the back road, it's hard to get there. You got to see then.
Yeah.
And that's what all of us grew up with, is we saw our grandparents and our folks, how they dealt with church. And that was special. Yeah. I still think that's special. I've heard, you know, Tyler just talking this week about his family sitting around picking and playing the gospel music, mm-hmm. and everything like that. And I think that's beautiful. Yeah. I absolutely love that. And you don't hear about that anymore.
Yeah. No. And, you know, I think COVID has kind of brought us back to that. Because there's a pile of folks that, oh, we don't need to go to church. We might get the Rona. Wasn't y'all at the ball game Friday night? Or wasn't y'all at the beach? Or the Walmart?
Well, at some point in time, I really think that, and especially in the South, if there's a lot of people that go for the wrong reasons, but they don't want to, they don't want the whole community to look like, oh, like they don't go to church.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. It's a social club. That's exactly what it is.
I said, first time I got saved was completely for the wrong reasons. I got saved because of this, the preacher at the time was talking about how bad hell was. And at a 13-year-old boy, I didn't understand. Like, I was just scared to go to hell. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know
fire insurance, man.
Yeah. I didn't know God's love. I just didn't want to go to hell. Second time when I actually found God, it was because of just his love. And I think now with a lot of people, they just, like you said, fake. They don't know what to believe, who to believe in there. And when you walk in, you got, I mean, it's just, everybody knows, so many damn hypocrites. Mm-hmm. There's so many damn people that you see in there that'll shake your hand at church but walk right past you in the aisle at Walmart because you got a damn 12-pack of beer in your buggy.
Yeah.
You know, they're not real. You know, you're supposed to love everybody regardless. I believe it said that the good Lord died for all of our sins and every one of us, not just some of us, not just the ones that went to church. And the people, there's a lot of folks just act like it. Like, if you don't go to church, you're going to hell. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I think it scares so many people off. When you have people, I know like the term Bible thumper gets thrown out here. You got some people that are just, they go not too far in it because be passionate about what you believe in and everything, but don't look down on somebody else just because they don't see it the way you see it. And that scares people quick when it comes to religion.
There's a lot of denominations on both ends of the spectrum that they just get outside of the, like if the Bible says something's wrong, it's wrong. You know, but there's a lot of people that will go on this end and say, oh, no, that's not wrong. Or there's people on the other end that will say, this is wrong and this is wrong. And I'm like, where's that in the Bible? It's like, oh, well, it's just wrong. I'm like, no. Like, I've heard of people, I don't know any person, but I've heard of people that would preach against, like, chrome bumpers and white wall tires and two-tone colored cars and like, you can't drink Coke and women can't wear open-toed shoes and stuff. I'm like, show me.
Really Pentecostal background.
We didn't believe that. I'm just saying I know of people like my church is stricter than a lot of churches, but there are some churches that are way just choom. And my thing is, if you can show me in the Bible and back it up in the Bible, I'm like, cool. We'll do that.
The problem with religion, it's man trying to describe God and define God, and it can't be done.
Yeah, sure. And like you were saying, you know, a lot of it's between us and God. You know, there's stuff in the Bible that is cut and dry. You know, don't kill people. Don't sleep with your neighbor's wife. Don't, you know, there's a lot of things that you don't do that. But there's some things that people will say, you know, that I lost my train of thought. Okay. There's some things that I believe that individuals, God deals with people because
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They can't handle something, and it'll like a, for instance, I know a woman that she had a pickup truck, and God told her to get rid of this pickup truck, and she fought with it, and she got rid of it. And the reason behind that was her daddy killed himself, and she bought that truck with insurance money. And every time she'd get in that truck, she thought about him, and she stayed depressed. And she was so prideful of that truck that she wouldn't let nobody drive it, nobody touch it, because that was her truck. And between it having the connection and making her depressed, and then her having so much pride in it, God didn't want her to have that truck. Now, she doesn't go around telling people, oh, you can't have a cool truck, you can't have a cool truck. But there are some people in this world that do. Some people, God will tell them, well, you can't do such and such because you can't handle it, and it'll make you da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they'll say, well, if I can't do it, can't nobody do it. You know, you can't. I heard one preacher that said you couldn't taper the back of your hair. You had to block it off when you got a haircut. I'm like, I've heard some crazy, crazy off. No, there's some people, and I'm not trying to bash people. I'm just saying that people get outside of the Bible. And it gets weird. But there's folks, and this is mostly out like in Oklahoma way, that don't believe in deodorant. For some reason,
it's hot as hell out here. Anyway, shit.
If they met me, they would believe in deodorant, because my wife makes fun of me because I'll get a shower before bed and put deodorant on before I even get into bed. And she said, "Why do you do that? You're gonna rub it off before the morning." And I told her that if I don't put deodorant on in about 30 minutes, I'm gonna stink. You're gonna wish I had deodorant on.
I promise you, they smell like shit out that way. We was out here recently, and that might be why we didn't know that.
We run into a few of them.
Some stinky sons of bitches. I mean, it's just to each their own when it comes to religion. I get mad about people picking and choosing what to believe, what not to believe, or whatever. I have a lot of friends that are – I'm in a gay wedding coming up, or a lesbian wedding. I love them both dearly. They are both like my sisters. I'd do anything in the world for them. And I get super pissed when I know what good hearts they've got and just the way they've chose to live. I don't say anything about it. I don't believe in it 100%. Because it's in the Bible not to, and I love the good Lord. But at the same time, it is not my place to judge them. I don't give a shit how they live their life. They can do whatever they want to, and I'm fine with it. Just, you know, I don't like when people go that route with religion. They pick and choose what to believe and
what not
to believe.
That's like a pet peeve of people. It's funny because, like I said, that's in the Bible, and I don't believe in it. But you shouldn't be ugly to folks.
You're damn right.
You know, I've worked with folks and it was gay and stuff like. As long as you don't try to be gay with me, we're gonna have a problem if you come on to me. But as long as you just be gay over there, you know. I talked with a guy one time, and I was like, man, you know, why? I don't understand. I don't get it. You know, why?
Well, they've got the same. When they see something, they're attracted to it. When we see something, we're attracted to it. It's called monkey brain. We've been joking about this all week. I was at the bar last night joking about it. You have monkey brain. When you see something and you want it, you desire it, you can't help it. You have a sinful heart anyway, regardless if you're talking about religion or if you're just talking about the way you're wired. We as men, every one of us has seen a woman at some point in time and just stood there like a dumbass and looked.
Absolutely.
And you don't know why. You catch yourself doing it. And it's the same thing with someone who's not wired the same. When they see something, they're obsessed with it. Yeah. They want it. That's why if I can't control myself at staring at a pretty woman and liking her picture on Facebook or adding her ass before I even know what I did, they can't help what turns them on.
Well,
that's why I leave it alone.
I asked that guy. I was like, I was like, man, I just don't get it. And I said, well, have you ever been with a woman? And he said, no, I had never been with one. I've just always been gay. And I said, well, I don't condone premarital sex in generally, but in your case, I'll make an exception. I said, go find you a girl and then come back and you can tell me. You know, tell me what you think. You know,
figure out what everybody's talking about.
When a preacher tells you to go try it, you know it's good. I was like, that I will agree with.
I was like, in this situation, this one time, I will make an exception. Yeah. And then there was a. He was a black guy, and we was working at a factory at the time, and he was a black guy, and there was this black lady that was one of his friends, and she came by, and he was laughing about it. He said, "Ha!" He said, "You hear what Aaron just told me?" And she said, "What?" And he told her, he said, "Well, come on, come on with me, and you know, I'll hook you up. I was like, well, there you go.
All I can say there you about go. Right now is those pray away the gay camps they have or whatever.
Oh, God.
And it's like, I feel like instead of them just praying for you, get a 10 to walk in, put it on you one time, and if that don't fix the problem, then guess what? It ain't getting fixed. No. You take some porn stars or whatever to the gay camp, and it's just like all of a sudden, over with.
So, you want to hear my story of the escape
from let's get off this real quick.
Yeah.
If we don't, I'm going to say real something fucked up.
No. Oh, Lord. No, this seriously happened to me last Sunday. We were sitting at home, Tegan and I and the boys, and we had an escaped convict over in Telford County. We just two counties over. My 9-year-old, he runs around the side of the house, comes back in the back door. Mommy, Daddy, there's a man in the yard. We're like, well, okay, it ain't uncommon. We live a mile out in the country from town, and, you know, people walk by the road all the time. Ain't no big deal. Well, a few seconds later, this guy knocks on the door, and sure enough, it's that escaped convict. He'd been out in the woods for 2 days, and I guess he was tired and disoriented. So I'm like, oh, well, crap, what do I do here? Because he was considered armed and dangerous. So I walked outside and said, hey, man, can I help you? He's like, yeah, man, my truck broke down, blah, blah, blah. Typical story, right? And I knew who he was. Tegan looked out the window. She knew who he was. But he was calm and polite. I give him credit. He was polite. He's probably just hungry and tired of being out in the cold and wet because it was kind of cold last week. So anyway, so I said, well, hey, man, I'll give you a ride to town. Let me step inside and get my shoes on. So I stepped inside, and I whispered to Tegan. I said, call the law. Tell him I'm going to take him to the marathon station, which was about a mile up the road right on the edge of town. And she did, and so we went to get in the truck. He's like, man, my clothes wet. I just get in the back of the truck. So when he got in the back of the truck, he hopped down. He didn't want anybody to see him. And I got to call 911 again while he's in my truck. And I called 911 and said, hey, guys, I got your escaped convict here. Where y'all want him? You know. And But it worked out just fine. He kept his cool. I kept my cool. And he never knew I was on the phone with the cops with him. And we were able to apprehend him. So
well, we never go to your house for anything.
it's wild. Had
let's go to the Crackle Barrel down here and get you a little something.
That's crazy. That was a crazy story.
Didn't shoot him.
Well, we could, at any point we could have held him at gunpoint because we got guns in the house. Yeah. I had one in my truck, wow. but I'm like, you know, he's cool and calm and collected. He's probably tired. You never want to escalate. You want to de-escalate
that's
the situation.
Right, absolutely. That's right.
Yeah, so that worked out good. But that was my little exciting story from last week.
I know. I saw the Facebook post. I was like, what the hell? I wish that he came here. I'm telling you.
You got him drunk and then take him to the jail.
I would have got him drunk. And then I would have been famous. I'd have called Channel 13 before I called the law.
I could just imagine the selfies you would take after you got him drunk and passed out.
Knock his ass out.
Tell him about the Crime Stoppers thing.
Oh, man.
He was talking about calling 13 before.
Crime Stoppers. Did y'all know this?
No, I didn't.
Oh, no. I used to be a fuck up, right? Used to be bad. Well, at this one point in time, I had to go to jail for something. I'm young here. It was when I got my DUI. I got put on probation. Well, my probation never got finished. They didn't finish filing the paperwork after I got them paying and had to quit going to visit. So for like a whole year in their system, they had down that I was supposed to come. Never called me, never sent me a message or anything. Never, nothing. It was just in their system, but there was no officer assigned to me. So I guess there's no officer assigned or whatever. They don't know what to do. I just fell through the cracks. Anyway, I get a call from my family like at 6, 7 o'clock about 5, 6 years ago. And they're like, what the fuck have you done? And I'm like, and at the time, I'm like, oh, shit, I've been good for like a hot ass minute. Like, I ain't got no trouble since Gracie was born. Mm-hmm. She'll be 10 this year. So she's like 5 or 6 at this time. And I'm like, I've done nothing lately. Like, I ain't done anything. And I'm like, you're on TV. You're on Crime Stoppers. Your phone's probably about to explode. Sure enough, phone started blowing up. I called them or whatever, and they was like, sir, I don't know what the issue is, but you need to come here now. So I went to the jail, like, in Macon, and, like, turned myself in. And I had to sit there for about 2 hours before somebody comes in there and apologizes to me from, because they couldn't even see. They were like, we have no idea what's going on here, but you're sitting your ass here until we figured it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was the most embarrassing thing ever, but I could laugh about it.
Wow.
There was like a $3,000 award somebody tagged me in, and I called Crime Stopper, said, hey, I was the guy that called 911 and turned the guy in. They said, well, since you called 911 first before you called us, then we can't give you the reward.
They're sons of bitches. I'm
like, really?
Really? Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay, thanks for nothing.
Somebody just pocketed that $3,000 with Crime Stoppers.
Somebody's just going to have the consciousness of mind in an emergency situation. Oh,
I'm serious.
I should call Crime Stoppers before the law.
I'm seriously going to do a Crime Stoppers TikTok slam video.
You should. You should. I can be part of that one since they fucked me too.
We'll plan that after the show.
Would you play in like the gospel song earlier? Tyler, I want you to do the doing what you want real fast for him, okay, since they haven't got to hear it or whatever. All right. I think those two really kind of go really, really well together. And then we'll bullshit for a couple more minutes. You got another one you want to play?
I can.
Okay, we'll get you to play another one too before we get out of here. But yeah, no, I dig what you're doing, dude. I like the whole route you're going with it. That fits in perfect with the image that we're trying to build here and the ideas we've got. So any help you need or whatever, I'm sure they'll let us know, because I think you're doing I think you're doing a very good thing. I think you're going about it in a way that will touch a lot of people.
That's the goal. I sure hope so.
You've heard this a million times too, but it's so freaking good. And he hadn't played it on the show yet.
So I wrote this song with my buddy Colin Middleton, and he's actually, I actually have the honor of going in with him to the studio next Tuesday and producing this for him. He's going to cut this song and one more that we wrote. But I'd been on the road for several months, been busy all the time, hadn't had time to really sit down and write, and didn't have any ideas really. I had kind of a block going on because I was so taken up with things going on in my own life and trying to keep the pace with touring and everything. And so finally I picked out an evening when I got in off the road and was supposed to be home for about 2 or 3 days, and I called Colin and I said, look, I don't care what your plans are for tomorrow evening, you come to the house when you get off from work and I'll buy some beer and grill us a steak and do a nice supper, and you're not leaving my house till we finish the song. He said, all right, bud, I'll be there around 7:30. You know, he came over from Statesboro. I was living in Baxley at the time. And we hadn't even really kicked off writing. We were just kicking around ideas. Hadn't latched on to one yet. And we were sitting on the front porch drinking a beer. And talk fell to past relationships that we've been in, the various reasons why they didn't work out. And he said, I guess if I had to blame it on one thing, it'd be the fact that I'm so damn hard-headed. And I said, yeah, I could say the same thing. And he took his drink and he kind of swirled what was left in the bottom of it. And he said, I'm still doing what I want, though. And I said, well, there's our song idea. Let's go write it. And we went inside and wrote it, and this is what we got. Crushed out the cigarette that was gonna be my last one, and then I lit another right behind it. I took the last sip of whiskey from my cup, looking for the will not to fill it back up, but I just can't seem to find it. There's a half a pack and a pint already gone. I'm still doing what I want.
Maybe I should crack the good book. Been a while since I gave King James a look. Lord knows I like to do things on my own. And buddy, you might say, how could I let her walk away? She was an angel, and I'm stubborn to the bone. I guess she finally had enough. She made me choose and I called her bluff. Well, some things I could change, but I just don't. I'm still doing what I want. It cost me my old truck one night. I hit that curb doing 105, but I walked away without a scratch. But for all that luck and all that's left, I still ain't figured out yet why I can't let go of what I can't get back. So I just do my best at moving on. I'm still doing what I want. Maybe I should crack the good book. Been a while since I gave King James a look. Lord knows I like to do things on my own. And buddy, you might say, how could I let her walk away? She was an angel, and I'm stubborn to the bone. I guess she finally had enough. She made me choose, and I called her bluff. Well, some things I could change, but I just don't. But I'm still doing what I want. At least that's what I thought. Thought I had nothing to lose. Guess I've learned a thing or two. Maybe I should crack the good book. Been a while since I gave King James a look. Lord knows I like to do things on my own. Buddy, you might say, how could I let her walk away? She was an angel, and I'm stubborn to the bone. I guess she finally had enough. She made me choose, and I called her bluff. And I let my foolish pride drag me along. And it still won't let me admit it when I. But I'm still doing what I want. I'm still doing what I want.
I hate you.
What a killer song.
That's good.
It don't matter how many times I hear it, dude.
What a hook.
It's
just killer.
It does not matter how many times I hear it.
I appreciate it
touches your right hand.
Oh, no, it grabs my fat ass. Because
you want to do what you want.
well, I'm going to.
I think that's a secret at this point.
I'm not wired to listen. I'm not. No, you know I love you. I just, when people haven't heard it before, I heard you.
Yeah.
It's all, I have to, got to make sure you do it.
Well, I appreciate it.
That's great, man. I love it.
That was good.
Thank you.
So, one thing we're going to bother Chuck about a lot coming up soon was I'm learning, me and you both, or whoever's part of it, learn how to do sound engineering and stuff. Chuck's amazing at what he does.
I've heard that.
He's very, very good. And if you're looking for a studio to work with right now and you're listening and like you like the talent that's in this room right now, you need to hit up Chuck Hutchinson. Go to his studio, record some stuff. What is it? It's
Music Artist Pipeline.
Music Artist Pipeline. We call it
MAP,
shirt on.
MAP for short.
MAP for short.
MAP Studios, Music Artist Pipeline.
Yeah. I love it. We're going to be working. Hopefully all of us be working together, helping each other.
We're going to take over Mid-South Georgia, buddy.
We are. And then it's not even a joke. It's going to happen. It's going to. Aaron, before we get out of here, we got time for one more. Since we got to hear all about you today, I'm going to start calling you Preacher Dan, probably. No, I just want to tell you, and you know, I want Tyler and Casey to say something too, because we know each other decently, and the stuff you said a while ago, it really resonated with me, and I think if more people how we started this off today with you talking about how you were, you know, released a couple of the songs you didn't want to do, how you wanted to market yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
You putting that right out there, that you, what you just did, that's how you market yourself. Because you, you got, I know, one more fan just from your story.
You.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, me and Chuck might need to talk about some recording afterwards.
But, no, yeah, I'm telling you.
The,
knocked the blocks off.
Thank you. But, yeah, like I said, that one I plan on the next, you know, album or whatever. I hope to do an album eventually. But anyway, that's going to be on there. And this next one, I think it's probably on there too. And I'm going to name the album after one of these two songs. It's either going to be Jesus Smith and Wesson and the Marlboro Man, or this next song, Too Country for the Church, Too Christian for the Bar. I have
say that one more again. Say that one, that one more again.
Too Country for the Church, Too Christian for the Bar.
If you don't name your album that,
wrong. I have great concept of the cover art for both, but I hadn't decided. I'm kind of leaning toward that because people seem to love this song I'm about to sing, and it sounds way better with a band, and we just rock out. And there's actually a very poorly shot video of the song on my with a band.
Bro, I promise you ain't the only person with a poorly shot video.
Nah, it's a place. We was at a place called Puckett's in Leaper's Fork outside of y'all know where that is. I love that place. I've done the open mic a couple of times, and actually in June they're booking me to do my first actual show where people are going to have to pay to come see me.
He's moving on.
In June, there at Leaper's Fork, they wanted me back for a two-hour show after I did that song that I just did and this song the other night. And somebody recorded it live. And, you know, when you do live, it's just the grainiest, ugliest video you've ever seen in your life. And anyway, so that's on my Facebook page, and you can check that out with my band.
You just need a bar stool, a brick facade behind you, and a neon cross and sing a song.
There you go. Oh yeah,
I dig it.
my concept, and it may sound like garbage. In my head, it sounds amazing, but the cover of the album "Too Country for the Church," it'll have my idea is have my face split and have my beard, my cowboy hat, and behind me on this side be like a church scene, and then I'm gonna shave and fix my hair, and then on this side it'll be that with a bar behind me.
Yeah,
and that's kind of my idea for the cover art.
That'd be neat.
But yeah, people seem to really like this song. But like I said earlier, for a long time, I just felt like my music just fell between the cracks. I didn't know what to do with it. So wrote a song about it. You want to hear it?
Yeah,
trust me, I'm going to like it.
I don't go out drinking, painting this town red. And I don't wear a suit and tie unless somebody's dead. Don't mind sitting with the sinners, but other sins I don't take part. Too country for the church, too Christian for the bar. I just want to sing my songs with too much guitar and too much twang.
That ain't possible.
I just want to sing about how Jesus is king somewhere between an often played and cover charge. Too country for the church, too Christian for the bar. They say that I don't fit into their shiny little church, 'cause I speak the truth, no matter who it hurts. They say you don't fit the mold, and we don't know just what you are. Too country for the church, too Christian for the bar. I just wanna sing my songs with too much guitar and too much twang. I just want to tell about how Jesus is king somewhere between an often played and cover charge. Too country for the church, too Christian for the bar. They don't want me around the juke joints. They say with us you don't belong. They say, boy, we like your picking. There's too much Jesus in your songs. But somebody's got to reach on, no matter where they are. Too country for the church, too Christian for the bar. I just want to sing my songs with too much guitar, too much twang. I just want to tell about how Jesus is King. Somewhere between an often played and cover charge, too country for the church, too Christian for the bar. Too country for the church, too Christian for the bar.
Yeah.
Woo!
Wow. Sir, songwriters are going to love you.
Oh, my God.
Dude, that's... Killer.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
That right here. Mm-hmm. You, as long as you are open and honest about the music that you're about to put out there, like, what I mean is, don't ever sugarcoat, like, what you are.
Yeah.
You be open and vocal about exactly who you are, and people are going to love you.
Yep.
Authentic. Thank you.
They, oh, dude, that's different.
That's the word.
That is different. That is good. That is literally, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's right here in the middle.
Thank you. That's what everybody's, I've talked to people in the industry. Like, we actually had the, making all kinds of noise. We actually had the chance to talk with Doug Johnson, who wrote Three Wooden Crosses. He's vice president of A&R at Black River Entertainment. We had a meeting with him. I sang him a few songs, and he's like, man, you're right in the middle of everything. He said, I don't know where to put you. He said, I don't know what to do with you. And I talked with a couple more industry people, and they all say the same thing. Said, I don't know what to do with you. you're right in the middle of country and gospel, and there's not. Everybody says, I don't know what the market is for that.
Well, we just have to start another genre.
We're going to start another market.
It's still country.
I agree.
It's still country.
Yeah, that's what I'm pushing. Anyway,
I would almost think, and I think Casey and Tyler will have a better idea of this than me. I'm just taking a guess here. A lot of people don't like God in their music that are these companies or whatever because they don't want to get the backlash from it. All the bullshit now, the cancel culture and everything.
Everything's got to be politically correct.
Yeah, they're scared somebody's going to call and be like, or complain or want to boycott the studio because you're singing about God and on country radio or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think you will do just fine just being yourself and putting out there exactly what you're doing. Does somebody come in?
Sounded like it.
I don't know. I think this place is haunted. We're going to need you to baptize this whole place before you get out of here, Preacher Dan. But no, I think you put out on social media the way you market yourself is you put out exactly who you are, and musicians, first off, are going to absolutely love you.
Yeah.
And then creative people are going to love you. It's different, but it's honest, it's good. And, by the way, your voice, 90s twang.
Yep.
Swing. Oh, I love it.
Chills, man.
I do. It is. With Yarbrough threw his fucking hat a while ago.
I was like, I think that's a good sign.
I don't know. I mean, everybody had to hear it, but there was a note you hit and it was raspy, uh-huh. But it was good. And me and you looked at each other when you hit it. He's like,
yeah, the last verse.
Yeah.
Sometimes in that key,
I
used to sing that song in the lower key, like in A or B flat or something, and it was almost too low. The guy plays bass for me, Don Wallace, he said, can you bump that up a few keys and kind of put some rasp in it? I was like, I think I can. And we done it, and that's how we do it now. It sounds good. And sometimes I can't quite hit that note, and they're like,
I'm having
a good day today.
Pollen didn't get you this time.
Well, you made us all have a good day today, Mr. Aaron.
Thank you.
I'm very glad you came. You keep doing what you're doing. And me and Tyler and Yarbrough, we're going to do an episode. Too, but we appreciate y'all coming, Mr. Chuck.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having y'all, me.
Sure. Y'all guys are awesome. I love y'all, and I can't wait to see what you got in the future, there, Aaron. I think you're going to surprise a lot of people, and a lot of people are really going to resonate with your message.
I hope so. I hope so.
Well, thank y'all, and thank y'all for tuning into Politics, Religion, and Whiskey. We will catch y'all next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.